Morning. For the verses for meditation this morning, I'd like to read from the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 8 and reading through to the end of the chapter, verse 14. It's Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. The subject of this chapter previous to these verses was obeying the magistrates, obeying the powers that God has ordained to be in charge at any given time in an area where we live, whether it be here or the East Coast, West Coast, wherever it is. There are times where we tend to forget that the powers that be are ordained by God and allowed by God. For indeed, if he did not wish them to be in a particular position, that he would stop it in whatever means necessary, in whatever way he deemed to be to have happened. So in those seven verses, he's telling us to obey them so that the world cannot have anything to say against us, so that the world cannot look at us and say, they see they're religious, or they claim to know Christ, and yet they don't obey the laws either. The very first part of this eighth verse, it says, owe no man anything. It is a final statement for the previous seven. Not to owe anybody. If there is a debt that is owed, it needs to be paid. If there is something that we owe somebody, whether it's a favor or somebody has done something for us or asked us to do something, we need to do it. If anyone will look at us and say there is a Christian, it is because of the way we act. If we do not pay what we owe, if we do not pay to those what is due, then that would be ammunition for the world. And again, that would be a way or a thing for them to say that, look there, they confess to be a Christian and yet they act no differently. But now he continues on in that verse. He says, but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. And then in verse 9 it says, for this. And what he is he's going on to explain. For these are the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Scripture speaks of love continually. Scripture speaks of how we are to act continually. And as I mentioned after that song that we sang, Jesus Loves Me, it is the sum and substance of Scripture, because Jesus did indeed love us. And everything that is written here is for our edification. It is for us to grow and to be strengthened And it is written down because Jesus loves us. So he's saying that if you have that love, and you look at all of the commandments that are in the Mosaic Law, all of them will be fulfilled if you have love. There is a good example, and it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. I'd like to read it, and it is a very familiar portion. In Luke chapter 10, and beginning with verse 25 and reading down through 37. It's rather lengthy, but it presents a point, and it proves a point. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, and tempting him, said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said to him, Thou hast answered right. This do and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Isn't that the way the world operates? Who is my neighbor? That guy that lives over in Queen Creek, I don't know him. I don't know him from a bale of hay. He could be a thief. He could be a cheat. He could be a Christian. How am I supposed to treat him? The same way you do a family member. Until he comes to prove himself to be otherwise, or proves himself that he does not want your friendship or does not want your love, you continue to love. And even after that point, you continue to love him. Marian Sonneberg had a saying that I remember her many, many times. She said, there's some people you just have to love from afar. And that's true. You may not get along with them. You may not really understand them. You may not agree with them. But that doesn't mean you can't love them and pray for them. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come back, I will repay you. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. To me, this is probably the most vivid example of compassion and of love. If you know a little bit of the history, the Samaritans did not get along very well. As a matter of fact, they could be classified as enemies of the Jewish people. And yet it was a Samaritan that came and helped this individual. We see it happening over in the Middle East quite a bit. You have this tribe and that tribe and those tribes, and they're all fighting against each other, and they're all better than you are. Not a lot of compassion there. God says that we have to love everybody. Not just the ones we agree with, not just the ones that are in our church, not just the ones that practice a lifestyle that we don't agree with. We are to love everybody as Jesus loved everybody. Unfortunately, those who we are closest to those who we love the most, there are times where we don't show it as we ought. There are times where we might show love towards a stranger better than we do towards our own family. I know that sounds like a horrible thing to say. I know that sounds bad. But each one of you think within yourselves, how many times have you raised your voice or said something sharp or in a tone that was not compassionate and that was not with love? It happens. It happens in families. Does that mean we love our family any less? Absolutely not. But for some reason, we feel as though we can do that and be a little freer with it. At least I can. But that doesn't mean I don't love my family anymore or any less. That doesn't mean that I would not do whatever it takes to keep them safe. That does not mean that I wouldn't do whatever it takes to continue to love them and protect them. But oh, I wish that I could be reminded when those opportunities arise and those situations arise where a sharp tongue is used, that I would be able to stop it and cut it out. Jesus said in his scripture, he says, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. If your tongue or your right eye offend you, cut it out. He doesn't literally mean to go and cut it off, but he's just trying to emphasize the fact, don't do it. And be reminded of that. And God can remind us, and he will remind us. But the problem is, sometimes our mind is so full of things that it shouldn't have, ought to be, that we can't hear it. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. It's, as I said, the sum and substance of Scripture is love. And if we are to love, then it would be the fulfillment of the law. If we would love as Jesus loved, we would be able to fulfill the law. Didn't work, did it? And that's why Jesus came. But that doesn't mean we stop loving. That doesn't mean that we just say, well, I just can't do it and I'm just going to forget about it. We continue to go on, and by God's grace, we continue to do what he wants us to do. And we do, when we do stumble and fall, he gives us that opportunity to right it. Then he continues on now in verse 11, and he takes up a different subject. And he says, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Because we love, and because of that message that he gave down through verse 10, because of this love that I am telling you, and because of the way that you are to be acting, you know the times. You can see them. And this was back some 1900 years ago that he was saying this. Today it's even more prevalent. You know the time it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up and live the life that Christ would have you live. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When Jesus died on that cross, that was the beginning of his second coming. That was the beginning of the time when he would come again. Paul is not saying here that, hey, he's going to be showing up tomorrow, or he's going to be showing up next week. What he's saying here is live what I've just spoken to you. Love one another, because the time is going to come when it's all done and God says, no, it's finished, and he shuts the door. When we pass from this life, that is the end of time for us. That's it. It's over. There is no second chance. I said last week, when Jesus died upon the cross, or when he was hung upon the cross, and that one criminal that hung beside him and asked him, he says, "Remember me when you come into paradise." Jesus gave him the opportunity to repent up until the last moment. The very last moment, when he was on the threshold of death, he gave him that opportunity to repent. And he will do that to all mankind. But if mankind's heart is cold and turns away, then that is their choice. It's unfortunate, but that is their choice. You see, God has given us the gift of choice. He has given us the ability to choose the path that we want to go. But with that choice, we had better be willing to suffer the consequences, because there will be. It's unfortunate, but there will be. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in this word and know what we are to do. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Walk honestly. Live what you believe. Live what you have learned and understood to be true, so that others may look at you and say that he doesn't do those kinds of things. And there is something about him that is different. We had a fellow that moved in close to us after we moved out of town, out south of here. The first couple times that I talked to him, and I know it happened with Kirk too, we talked about it. He was quite vulgar. And it was uncomfortable. But I noticed as time went on and the more he talked, the less vulgar he became. Did somebody talk to him? Did his wife talk to him? I don't know. I know his wife knows that we are church people, if you will, for the lack of a better term, that we are Christians. But you see, people recognize that there is something different. People recognize, sometimes it takes a little while, sometimes it takes a few days, sometimes it only takes a couple minutes, but people do recognize that we are different. And for the most part, people will curtail their normal speech, if you will. People will recognize that and try to tone it down, just to use an expression. But you see, that's what our life, the light that we show, that's what it does to those who don't believe. Will it ignite a spark in their life and have them wonder? Or somewhere down the road, that little tiny seed that was planted when they were talking to us, somewhere down the road somebody waters that seed. Somewhere down the road somebody harvests that plant. That's God's project. That's his job. We just need to be there ready to plant the seed. And he says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Take Christ and put him on as a robe. Put him on as a covering. And don't make provision for the flesh. Don't make an opportunity for the flesh so that it would do things that would be contrary to God's word and to his love. He does love us, and he continues to love us. The expression that I heard years ago and have used many times, "There but for the grace of God go I." It's very significant. It's something that we are all capable of living the life of sin, living the life outside of the kingdom of God. We're all capable of it. The only reason why we don't is because we love our Savior that much. And God keeps us, and he provides for us, and he keeps us safe. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.